You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on June 20th, 2024. And this week, we're talking about church mergers. It seems like this is a more common thing that is talked about today, where we hear about two different congregations joining together to become one local church. Why is this becoming more common? And are mergers like this a good idea or a bad idea? We're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-2024. Now for our discussion this week. Several months ago, I saw a story from the Christian Chronicle talking about a Church of Christ in the Oklahoma City area merging with a larger church. And we'll talk about that story in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, I want to talk about a couple of general points about this idea of church mergers. First, why do we have more talk about church mergers today? At least from my perspective, it seems like this is talked about a lot more than it used to be. And I think the simple reason for that is that many churches are in decline, at least numerically. People quit attending. Maybe they're no longer interested. Maybe they've fallen into sin. Could be they've moved to a larger town or gone to another church in the area. Maybe it's a sound church. Maybe it's not a sound church. So as the ones who are left continue to age, and young people, generally speaking, keep moving away or keep leaving to go to other churches, then the ones who are left to wonder, how are they going to keep going? How is this going to be sustainable to continue the Lord's work as they've done it in the past? So because of this decline, many churches have fewer resources and fewer members who are able to contribute to the work as they had before. So in many places, this is becoming almost a necessity. Now, obviously, not every congregation is in decline like this. Some churches are growing, and that's a great thing. However, some of these churches that are growing are doing so primarily at the expense of these churches that are in decline. In other words, it's not because they're going out and converting a lot of people. It's because churches that are in decline, their members are leaving and going to these larger churches. So that's what is causing growth in some of these cases, not in every case. But sometimes the growth of these larger churches is at the expense of some of these smaller churches that are in decline. So second, I want to talk about this. When might a merger be a good idea? Now let's be clear about what we mean by a merger. This does not mean that two separate congregations decide they're going to coordinate their efforts and jointly participate in some particular work, but continue to be two separate congregations. There is no example of this and no authority for that type of work in the New Testament. Instead, what we're talking about is two separate congregations deciding to become one congregation under one eldership made up of men that are among them, or in the absence of qualified men to serve as elders, under the leadership of the men in that place where they are working and worshiping together as one congregation. That's what we're talking about. When might that be a good idea? Well, first, it may be a good idea if the brethren are of the same mind. Remember what Paul told the brethren in Corinth. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul wanted the brethren to be united, but in order to be united, they had to speak the same thing. Well, what if some brethren refused to abide by the teaching of Christ? Well, Paul wrote later in that same letter, "For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you." When he wrote that, he was addressing the situation in Corinth in which the Lord's Supper had been corrupted and the church was divided between the haves and the have-nots. there needed to be a clear distinction or a division between those who were right before God and those who were not. That's why he said there needed to be factions among you, not in the way that they were dividing, but a distinction between who was right and who was not. But if brethren are of the same mind, then a merger could be good. Second, it may be a good idea if, by becoming one congregation, they can do the Lord's work more effectively. Remember the work that the Lord gave the church to do, the work of evangelism or spreading the gospel, edification, building up the members of the church, those who are already saved, and benevolence, helping those who are in need among that congregation. And we won't get into the passages that talk about these being the work of the local church. There will be links in the show notes that talk about that in more detail. But if two congregations are struggling to spread the gospel, to support those who preach the gospel, are struggling to maintain a location for their assemblies, and are not able to care for needy members that may be among them, then a merger, if they are in the same area, could be a good idea. Third, it may be a good idea if their merger reflects the Lord's prayer for unity. Remember what Jesus prayed before his crucifixion. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus desired his people to be one, to be united. Sometimes brethren are divided into separate churches because of petty differences or because of conflicts from a previous generation and those were never resolved. Sometimes it is good and necessary to have multiple congregations in a particular area, but other times the cause of Christ would be better served if certain congregations merged together and got over their differences. Now, these are some reasons why mergers are becoming more common and why they might be a good idea. But when might a merger be a bad idea? Well, for that, let's notice that story from the Christian Chronicle. It's dated back in September 6th of last year, 2023. But notice the story. Dwindling Church of Christ seeks new future as community church campus. The Mayfair Church of Christ, at one time a flagship congregation among Churches of Christ in the Oklahoma City area, will become the fifth campus of Crossings Community Church, which has more than 9,000 members. In the 1980s, Mayfair had 800 to 900 members, but over the past year, the monthly average has been right at 100. The minister of the church described Mayfair as an aging congregation and largely a commuter congregation, with many older members who now live in more distant parts of the city. The neighborhood by the church is more diverse than it was in the 1950s. Now, earlier we talked about the reasons why mergers are becoming more common, and that's what we see with this congregation. You have an aging church, you have people who no longer live in the area, and the article went on to quote the minister of the Mayfair Church as saying the church's financial situation required something to be done. But the Mayfair Church of Christ did not merge with another Church of Christ. They merged with a community church, which differed in teaching and practice on some significant points. The community church, like many churches, practiced instrumental music. That was something that was not done by the Mayfair Church of Christ. The community church allowed women preachers and holding leadership roles, something that also was not done by that Mayfair Church of Christ previously. The community church also practiced baptisms quarterly rather than immediately, as we read about in the New Testament. When we talked about reasons why a church merger might be a good idea, one of those reasons was that the brethren were of the same mind. But what if they are not of the same mind? Can we just ignore those differences? And again, this is not about some petty difference or personality conflicts. This is about joining into fellowship with those who are not following the pattern that's given in the New Testament. Notice a few passages. 2 John verses 9 through 11 says, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. John explained there that those who go beyond the doctrine of Christ do not have fellowship with God. And if we join into fellowship with them, then we jeopardize our fellowship with God. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, Paul said, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them." Paul said to turn away from those who are teaching what is contrary to what the apostles taught, not join into fellowship with them. And then Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul said, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." Paul explained that if someone is teaching a gospel that is different from what was taught by the apostles, they stand condemned. And if we follow that different gospel, then we have deserted Christ. Now, there are other passages that we can look at as well, but those will suffice to make the point. We might come up with a list of reasons why a merger between our church and another church might be a good idea. But if it means joining into fellowship with those who have gone beyond the doctrine of Christ, are doing things that are contrary to the teachings of Christ, or who have distorted the message of the gospel, we cannot go along with them if we want to be pleasing to God. So in summary, there may be times when it would be good and helpful for two congregations to become one and carry out the Lord's work together in a particular place. But if we are facing a decline in our congregation, we need to be careful that we are not addressing the problem by compromising the truth. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/06-2024. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who would be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.